just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We don't get down to the bottom of this. You're still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
For you to light and blue, there's nothing more a man could do. Don't get your bollocks in a twist. Settle down, don't take a fit. You drank with demons straight from hell. You almost nearly won as well. You wiped the floor with victory. You puked until you fell asleep.
Around your neck to watch you dance to jig at that. They left you for the starving crows, hovering like hungry horse. If you're down, but don't you lie to your body. And in such a starving, so you can pay. I need the burger so I can see.
Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
This is a program we call Conversation. It's dedicated to the art of good talk. Tonight our host, Clifton Fadiman, has the pleasure of having as his guest the Honorable Adlai E. Stevenson, with Alistair Cook and Bergen Evans. This transcribed conversation started several minutes ago. Our conversationalists are talking about the non-conforming American. Clifton Fadiman is speaking.
You know, Governor, Mr. Cook, Mr. Evans, there's an awful lot of talk these days about conformity and non-conformity. Maybe that's a healthy thing, that there should be as much talk about it as we have. I'm not at all sure that I know what we mean by nonconformity, particularly in the year 1955. Mr. Cook, what do you think a nonconformist is?
Well, of course you touched me on the raw there, because I was brought up in England as with a Wesleyan parson for a father, and nonconformity meant the very methodical conformists of being a Wesleyan.
Governor, it's true, isn't it, that nonconformity in our country has a more general meaning than the one Mr. Cook has explained?
Well, I'm sure it has a much broader meaning than merely religious conformity. I suppose we think of it in terms of the individual who doesn't coincide precisely with his neighbor, either in view, appearance, or attitude, or habit of thought, or we think of it in terms of the larger scene of political conformity. I suppose we even think of total conformity as totalitarianism.
Yes, the opposite of the sort of thing we're striving for, yes, in this country. What do you think, Mr. Evans? What would your definition be of conformity?
Well, I suppose, when you come to define conformity, it all depends whether you're looking at it from the viewpoint of the nonconformist or from the viewpoint of the person who disapproves of it. The nonconformist sees himself as a man of intelligence, common sense, courage, and originality. The other man sees him as a crank and sometimes as a fool or sometimes as a dangerous man.
Are you straddling at the moment, or would you like to?
No, I'm quite serious. One man's nonconformity is common sense to him and a dangerous folly to another man.
Well, do you think it's really true that there is more pressure against the nonconformist today in our country than there was, let's say, a generation ago, 25 years ago? What do you think, Governor?
My impression is that of late, largely due to the apprehensions that have developed as a result of war and of the threat of war, the insecurity that's come about in the last generation or so, that there has been a multiplication of the pressures towards conformity, yes. But
wouldn't you say, Governor, that whenever a group is threatened, as of course we are threatened by very disastrous external forces, we begin to act tribally. The tribe draws closer together and sticks closer to its traditional manners and mores, and it feels that anyone who departs from these traditions may be a potential threat.
Wouldn't you agree, Clifton, that the one of the great prices and tragedies of the mounting tensions and fears in the world is that it has made nonconformity, which is another term sometimes for originality, a very dangerous thing, and the world needs it. That is, the world is in such a state that it cannot take advantage of one of the great sources of human betterment.
Progress, which we believe in, of course, is the result of ideas. Ideas are the result of thought. But thought is so often associated with disagreement, and disagreement with conformity, and conformity with heresy, that you finally get around to the point where heresy is subversion, and therefore thought is subversion, and it's much safer not to think.
Thank you, everyone. It's wonderful to be back at CPAC.
This is going to be a good one, I guarantee you that.
It's a beautiful facility here at the Gaylord. I know I can't say gay, I'll just say the Lord.
You're going to hear many very inspirational and motivational speeches.
Just sit down and shut up, let the grown-ups handle it.
Hey, I want to be friendly. Conservatives are friendly people.
Compassion comes from a choice, not the liberal definition of a choice.
The opposite of bad government is not good government.
Well, as someone who is neither a criminal nor insane, of course I disagree.
Real peace comes from the Marine Corps, not the Peace Corps.
Firearms and big gulps are integral to American happiness for similar reasons.
Republican elected officials who vote for tax increases are rat heads in a Coke bottle.
Could we just agree that's ridiculous?
As much as we hate to admit it, 80% of the American people are not like us.
I remain haunted by the experience of the 2012 campaign.
We may have lost 5 of the last 6 popular votes for president, but I'm actually a lot more optimistic than that would make it appear.
Folks, you don't have to pay people to hate you. They'll do it for free.
You know, you got me.
Do you think we need a bigger truck?
Bigger truck.
Bigger truck.
Pizza! Any kind of warmth at all is really appreciated, but thank you.
Biggest and most expensive truck in the world.
Does it really take $3 million to discover that monkeys, like humans, act crazy on meth?
Do we have a budget proposal?
It looks like we might.
Congressman Paul Ryan's budget plan.
Yet again, a path to prosperity, a responsible, balanced budget.
A near carbon copy of last year's proposals.
Ryan budget 3.0.
This plan, for better or worse, has been described as dead on arrival.
One part of his budget is going to be a likely non-starter at the White House, the repeal of Obamacare.
Get rid of Obamacare.
Repeal it, as if.
Why go through that again?
We don't like this law. This is why we're proposing to repeal this law in our budget.
Sounds like November all over again, doesn't it?
We will never be able to balance the budget if you keep Obamacare going. Getting rid of Obamacare, because we think it destroys the healthcare system, to replace Obamacare.
Calling for something that can't be done.
Eliminate Obamacare, that's not practical. Even though you might want it, the Supreme Court has spoken. That's never going
to
fly.
You're right, Brian.
First, you have to get both houses to vote to repeal it. Then it goes to the White House.
The president has a pen, and he can veto it.
Something that did not escape Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Like it or not, it's like saying, I wish the Iraq war didn't happen.
House Republicans have voted more than 30 times to repeal Obamacare. Time not well spent.
We need to repeal and replace Obamacare with a better system, with a patient centered system.
If you can't repeal Obamacare, how long would it take you to balance the budget under your plan?
You're going to see young people not wanting to go into the field of health care because of Obamacare. Obamacare is a fiscal train wreck. This is an invitation to the President of the United States to come together to fix these problems.
Wouldn't it be much easier if you simply didn't pay taxes?
$1 a day. Been working for $1 a day. I've been working for $1 a day. Then I never understood why all my money goes down to the man at the bank. When all he does is sit and think about the money that I'm gonna make.
Ultimately, it may be that the differences are just too wide. If their position is, we can't do any revenue, or we can only do revenue if we gut Medicare, or gut Social Security, or gut Medicaid, if that's the position, then we're probably not going to be able to get a deal.
Paul Ryan today put forward his budget, right, and he says he's challenging you to come forward with a budget that also reaches balance. Are you going to do that?
No. We're not going to balance the budget in 10 years, because if you look at what Paul Ryan does to balance the budget, it means that you have to voucherize Medicare, you have to slash deeply into programs like Medicaid. My goal is not to chase a balanced budget just for the sake of balance. My goal is, how do we grow the economy, put people back to work? And if we do that, we're going to be bringing in more revenue. If we've controlled spending and we've got a smart entitlement package, then potentially what you have is balance, but it's not balance on the backs of, you know, the poor, the elderly, students who need student loans, families who've got disabled kids.
All of my brothers will are jumping on planes, will and going off fighting in wars, will over on a desert shore, fighting for my freedom and a little bit of old. Then it sure does cost, well, a whole lot of money, will live in the land of the free. Well, I think I'll go and plant me a seed and grow a marijuana money tree. Well, then I'm gonna head down to South Louisiana with a guitar on my back, cornbread and a gunny sack. Maybe Uncle Sam will cut me some slack. Been a digging in the rocks since the 5 o'clock and my careless cut to the bone. Well, the soles in my shoes is worn, 'cause I've been digging in the rocks since dawn. Well, I've been working in the goddamn sun, well, just for $1 a day. I've been working for $1 a day, 'cause I need a little money to save.
People have to realize
realize that 53 cents of every dollar that they're paying in taxes is going to the military. It's an astonishing figure. There's an enormous, enormous amount of money being blown on war and killing and destruction. But
well, break this down. Break this down a little bit. You know, how much money, where's it going?
Well, look, there's a $3 trillion 2011 budget proposal. It'll probably go a little higher, but they always do. But, you know, so let's round it up, $3 trillion that is being proposed for the next year. And of that, that includes a direct Pentagon budget request of $717 billion at this point. That'll also rise, as it always does. There's a proposal for $158 billion. They call it contingency fund for the two wars, but that'll rise. Then you got $40 billion in black box intelligence funding that doesn't get written in the budget, but really
what is that?
They never tell us how much they spend on the CIA and the NSA and the DIA and all these different intelligence activities, which are all war-related. But a couple of years ago, there was a error in testimony in the Congress that leaked that the black budget on intelligence was $37 billion. But I suspect that it's probably closer to $50 or $60 billion because if you think about it, the CIA is basically running the Predator operation in Pakistan, and that's got to be hugely expensive. So, you know, I suspect that the intelligence budget is probably much more than $40 billion I gave it. Then you got another almost $100 billion in non-Department of Defense military spending, and that includes things like the military portion of NASA, military spending by the State Department. Remember, they hire all those military contractors to guard their embassy operation in Iraq and their embassy operation in Afghanistan and so on. It's pretty huge. Then you've got the Homeland Security budget that is largely military, and then the VA, $123 billion in veterans benefits for the damaged goods from all our wars. And finally, there's $400 billion in interest on the debt to pay for our prior wars, and that's just the interest. So that all adds up to $1.6
trillion. $1.6
trillion?
And sort of like, how does that compare to the recent health care bill? Like, what's the...
Oh, the recent health care bill was $1 trillion for 10 years, over 10 years. But we're talking about $1.6 trillion in 1 year.
$1.6 trillion. So we could have... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Next time you hear that the government needs to cut funds for providing medical care to the children of laid-off workers, or that supplemental unemployment funds are running out, next time you hear that federal funds that are needed to fund extra teachers at your school are being cut, or that Social Security benefits need to be cut back, or retirement age needs to be increased to 70, next time you hear your local post office has to be shut down for lack of funds, next time you hear that Medicare benefits need to be reduced, think about that 53% of your tax payment that's going to finance the most enormous war machine the world has ever known.
Defense budget is facing almost $50 billion in cuts, and it's causing mixed feelings in America. Some fear it'll weaken security, but others say the reduction is long overdue. But America's huge military presence abroad is one area many think could comfortably take the hit. Our Washington correspondent, Gynet Chikan, has been going over the numbers.
There's a lot of talk in Washington about the need to make some cuts to the humongous military budget. In light of this conversation, we checked out the latest Pentagon numbers on troop deployment around the world. The U.S. has boots on the ground in 150 countries. That's around 200,000 troops serving in different parts of the world. Largest contingents include, of course, Afghanistan, 66,000 troops. Well, that number is supposed to be halved by the end of this year. There you see vast presence in Asia Pacific, Japan, South Korea. With the announced pivot to Asia, those numbers may actually grow. In the Gulf nations, well, you see Kuwait, Bahrain, the presence there has been growing since the withdrawal from Iraq. huge presence all across the globe. So why all this? This is more than fighting terror, more than fighting anything. Colonel Douglas McGregor is with me today to discuss all those whys. Colonel McGregor, let's take Germany. Almost 48,000 troops. Why so many in Germany?
Before we run through the regions, let me tell your viewers something that's very important up front, because all of these numbers that you've posted are about to change.
When I was young, my dad is a son. Never be ashamed of where you're from. There's nothing wrong with your last name. So don't be looking for people to blame. Cause hard times are coming, they go. Most of the time we're in the middle of your road. Same pain, different ways. Don't you know, son, when it pours, it rains. Hard times.
Is still weighing down your pockets and cluttering your kitchen counters and drawers, but as far as the Canadian mint is concerned, the penny is no more. We knew it was coming, but it's still a big adjustment for shoppers and retailers. And it appears not everyone is clear about the new rules. Ioana Romiliotis now with how it all works. Ioana.
Peter, if you're stuck with a jar of pennies, you can always look for a fountain and start making a lot of wishes, or try to spend them.
We don't take pennies anymore, dear. We're rounding down.
The penny may have dropped, but for retailers and customers, it looks like getting used to the change may take a while.
Like, I mean, I have tons and tons of pennies in, like, jars at home that just, I guess, would now be obsolete.
Not quite, but getting there.
We are today marking an end of an era in Canada's coinage history.
In a penny-pinching move, the Royal Canadian Mint will no longer distribute pennies to financial institutions. Canada's lowly coin actually costs 1.6 cents to produce. Going penniless will save the Mint $11 million a year and clear out a lot of loose change.
You had yours and I'd have mine. Most good folks have tried and tried. Make a living on your minimum wage. You're coming up short nearly every day. And what's enough and what's the cost? You can't stand up, cause all is lost. Your list is up and your doors are locked. There's a poor boy living on every block. Hard time. In the middle of your road. Hard time. Creeping up on the good folks you know.
It's not surprising that the EU's bailout plan for Cyprus, announced yesterday, has not gone down well on the small Mediterranean island. It demands that everybody who has savings in a Cypriot bank pays a one-off tax of up to 10% of those savings. Now, an emergency session in the parliament has been postponed, three political parties already vowing to oppose the plan. Tulip Mazumda has more.
Rocky times ahead. Many were shocked and angered at the news that they will have to dip into their savings to help rescue the failing Cypriot economy.
Of course I'm concerned.
I've got many clients who've lost money because of this, and it's going to undermine all faith in Cyprus as an economy. It's a ridiculous decision.
Γιατί να μας πειράξουν τα λεφτά μας, εγώ αυτό το πράγμα δεν το καταλάβω.
Why should they take our money? We've worked our whole lives to save a bit on the side. It's really unfair.
When I was young, my dad was a son. Never be ashamed of where you're from. There's nothing wrong with your last name. So don't be looking for people to blame. Cause hard times, they come and they go. And most of the time are in the middle of your road. The same pain every way. Don't you know that when it pours, it rains? Land will always be around, following you from town to town. But you can get up when it puts you down. Cause everybody's got them if you look around. Hard time in the middle of your road. Hard time creeping up on the good folks you know. Hard time huddling around a wood burning stove. Hard time from the California hills to the Cumberland Road.
We did it! We set a new record on the Dow Jones Industrial! This is huge! This is better than collectively losing our virginity to a supermodel who's professionally trained as a trapeze artist! The Dow Jones set a new record high! When I was little, I thought that Dow Jones was a real guy, and I couldn't understand why he fell so much, nor why it was national news every time he did. Dow Jones fell again today, and I was like, Jesus, why doesn't somebody help that motherfucker? And he was either falling or soaring, and I could not, for the life of me, figure out who this bizarre eagle man with Parkinson's was. But now, I'm more educated, and I know it's a stock market index, and it set a new record high the other day. Right? And the S&P 500 is at a 5-year high too. So everybody's happy, right? Everybody has jobs and we're swimming in fudgesicles or whatever normal people do when they're happy, right? Right? No? According to numbers reported in the Village Voice, there are more homeless people in New York City than any time since the Great Depression. You remember that one, right? That was the one where people had to use prosthetic limbs as firewood. It wasn't fun. The number of homeless in New York has now topped 50,000. Half of those are children. And New York is supposed to be one of the cities doing well in this whole shit storm. In Detroit, the rats are now accepting food stamps. How is it corporate profits are at all-time highs while regular people suffer so much? It's because austerity is good for corporate titans and sucks for average Americans or average people in any country. And high unemployment and breaking unions means that corporations don't have to compete for the best workers by raising wages or giving benefits, so they can keep wages low. Basically, you getting f***ed means good days and fudgesicle swimming for Mr. Dow Jones. Of course, this won't work long term because once everyone's truly broke, we can no longer buy the shit to keep the economy going. But for now, austerity all around. We need a new index, one that measures the health and happiness of the people, not just the stock prices of the big corporations. Judging how well America is doing by looking at the Dow Jones is like saying the health of an ant colony is exactly proportional to the happiness of the anteater standing over it.
Conspiracy theory is a kind of epistemological cartoon about reality. I mean, isn't it so simple to believe that things are run by the Greys and that all we have to do is trade sufficient fetal tissue to them and we can solve our technological problems? Or isn't it comforting to believe that the Jews are behind everything, or the Communist Party, or the Catholic Church, or the Masons? Well, these are epistemological cartoons. It's, you know, kindergarten stuff in the art of amateur historiography. I believe that the truth of the matter is far more terrifying, that the real truth that dare not speak itself is that no one is in control. Absolutely no one. You know, you don't understand Monica, you don't understand Netanyahu. It's because nobody is in control. This stuff is ruled by the equations of dynamics and chaos. Now, there may be entities seeking control, the World Bank, the Communist Party, the rich, the somebody others, but to seek control is to take enormous aggravation upon yourself. Because this process that is underway will take the control freak by the short and curly and throw them against the wall.
Breaking news out west, a magnitude 5.1 earthquake has rattled a large section of Southern California. Preliminary reports put the epicenter about 12 miles east of Anza, California. That's in southern Riverside County. It's about 14 miles from Rancho Mirage in Palm Desert. There are reports of aftershocks, but no major injuries or damage reported, at least. We'll stay on top of that.
Team Canada. In this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. Win.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Finally, Ecuador's Tungurahua volcano has spewed glowing ash into the air as it showed intensified activity for a second day. Ash was reaching 2 kilometers into the sky. In December, the town of Banos de Agua Santa was covered in a thick layer of volcanic ash that forced authorities to encourage local residents to evacuate the area. Tungurahua means throat of fire. It's been classified as active since 1999.
We get loose in this motherfucker. Let the roof on fire.
And
a round of golf for a group of men in Illinois was anything but relaxing. One of the men fell into an 18-foot deep sinkhole that opened up beneath him on the fairway of the 14th hole. He dislocated his shoulder in the fall, and he wasn't able to climb out. But good news, one of his buddies climbed into that hole, put a rope around him, and he was pulled to safety. And I don't know about you, Wolf, but I keep wondering, what is all of this with all these sinkholes? We keep hearing problems of sinkholes.
All of a sudden, sinkholes. Who knew?
Now I'm getting a little worried.
No. It's a serious issue.
It is.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
A spectacular display from one of the few active volcanoes in Europe. Mount Etna in Italy sending streams of red-hot lava into the night sky as it continued a series of recent eruptions. The latest reaching a height of almost 3 kilometres at a new crater on the southeast face of the volcano. As lava streamed down its sides, experts said the local population was in no danger. Etna, which is located above the town of Catania on Sicily, often erupts but rarely causes damage. Although the eruptions themselves do not generally put the local population at risk, inhabitants do have to live with the ash showers that follow the events.
It's very significant. It's very rare that we find skeletons that we can date to a specific time. And of course it's even more important because we believe these came from the Black Death, a massive pandemic that affected all of Europe and killed perhaps 40 or more percent of the population of London and Britain. It's a very rare find. It's a very important find of reasonably well-preserved skeletal material. It means that we can go forward from here, we can do years of research looking into the microbiology, the DNA of the disease, and discover more about the history of this area and London in particular. Because of the timing of this find, what we found is over the last decade there have been massive advances in genetics, in medicine, and that in a way that's rubbed off on archaeology because we can tell things now that we couldn't tell 10 years ago. And studies that have been done on other Black Death cemeteries have been able to not only identify the pathogen, but also look at the strain of the pathogen and look at the epidemiology, the evolution of the disease through time. And now we know, for example, that the Black Death originated in China. And what we can do with these skeletons, we can take a tiny sample, say, from the teeth, and look at the DNA, at the pathogen, and fit it into that picture, and thereby learn more about the plague and the Black Death. So it's a fantastic opportunity. It's vitally important to know about our past. It's important for our future, I think. And if the more we understand our past, the more we can look to the future, I think.
You won't see.
investigations begun into why more than 2,200 dead pigs have been found in a river in China. Since the pigs have been found, there have been concerns over food safety and environmental pollution. It's thought the carcasses were probably dumped in the Hengpu River in Zhejiang province, and officials expect the total number to increase. The Shanghai government says workers are continuing to collect carcasses from the river, and it's closely monitoring the water quality, although no pollution has been found so far. Following the discovery of the dead pigs, the authorities have been criticized for their delayed response.
Yes, I guess there have been many others. Yes, I've treated them the same as you. But quick,
along the southwest coast of Florida are dying in record numbers. 174 have died this year because of a red tide. Wildlife officials have rescued 12 others, like the ones that you see here. Red tides, they happen almost every year when a tiny algae concentrates in an area, turning the water brown or red. This year, that happened in an area where manatees migrate, making their food toxic.
Years after the US-led invasion of Iraq, torture is rife and many criminal trials are unfair. That's according to the campaigning group Amnesty International. It says the Iraqi authorities are failing to uphold human rights and respect the rule of law.
Maybe you'll be shocked by this admittance.
The aftermath of a plane crash in the United States. A small aircraft comes down just minutes into a flight in Florida. The Piper PA-31 crashing into an industrial area near Fort Lauderdale. The plane developing a problem shortly after takeoff. Officials said it tried to circle back and land at the airport, but unfortunately it didn't make it. Plowing through a number of vehicles in this parking lot before slamming into a building and bursting into flames. All three people on board the twin-engine aircraft died. Luckily, no injuries on the ground, despite the devastation at the scene. An impound yard for repossessed cars. At least 10 vehicles destroyed, along with a boat. An investigation is underway into the cause of the crash.
I'm the angel of death.
morning, folks. Quick global update so we can get right to the arriving energy from space. Mexico has the seismic rumblings and growing lava dome to suggest raised danger and larger volcanic events. Cyclone Tim, just about dead in the Coral Sea, we've got a tiny bit of energy remaining. Something to note, look how the clouds are spinning up a bit from the Antarctic. That's a good reminder that pressure spins oppositely in the south, so this is a counterclockwise high, and it must feel like an early fall for Tasmania and other southern areas. In Europe, the two split lows are now moving on, the eastern one exiting the picture to make way for more precipitation for western and central Europe tonight and tomorrow. The U.S. is watching this low intensifying, headed across the Mississippi tonight, and when it settles in tomorrow, we'll take this air mass convergence to the next level and produce severe storms over about 10 states. Now let's get to space weather. First things first, I hope you watched the proton flux yesterday like we told you to. If you are at extremely high latitude, you are encountering elevated radiation right now. As of yesterday afternoon, the polar radiation conditions were worsening, and this did not stop throughout the afternoon. And by dinner time in the U.S., full energetic storm was in progress. Now, unlike CMEs, which are just flowing clouds of plasma blasting through space, energetic flux involves the interplanetary magnetic field, the magnetic footprint, and other connections. And basically, this is essentially a direct line into our magnetic system. The energy is only guided along the field lines to Earth's polar regions. It is only a minor storm, but yet another thing for high-latitude residents, Antarctic station workers, and ISS crew to be concerned about. Breaking quickly to quote myself in saying this filament up north wouldn't be here by this morning. Well, I watched, and as I expected it to fire, the rest of the party got sick of waiting and left without him. Not the filament we had primarily in mind, but wow, a terrific visual of this eruption. The bright arcs that fill the void left by the filament are what accelerates the particles and causes us to read a Hyder flare. This one was minor. The eruption is set going north and ahead of Earth's orbital trajectory, so there is no chance of impact. Let's take a look at the umbral field. It began tilting, and I mentioned that yesterday. My nervousness died down when it tilted back, except that at the end of this tilt back, it is almost opening Earth up to the green hole. As you can see on the SDO, the umbral field isn't huge there, except for still managing to block the larger southern region. Pretty amazing to have this many sunspots, even have some complexity, and the best we can muster is one M flare, and a Hyder flare at that, not even a sunspot eruption. But enough complaining, we'll take what we can get, and luckily we are just now beginning to take it, hours after both NASA and NOAA's expected impact of the CME time passed. Yesterday's news, it was approaching the 24-hour mark, and therefore had little chance of causing damage by midday when it had still not arrived. Its impact this morning has doubled the speed and density, taken temperature from 10,000 to 100,000 Kelvin, and injected a ton of energy into the Earth system. Let's see how it's doing. Flux gate showing immediate disturbance, with a little bit of plasma penetrating Earth's failing shield already. Now, that which is caught in the shield is energetic enough to pump up inductions from the baseline, and a significant magnetic storm has just begun. KP went straight to 6. Magnetopause standoff indicates that any more pressure in satellites might need a quick shutdown. Now, while these CMEs pose absolutely no physical risk to humans on the ground, and at this point, it's not really a risk for our electrical grid, which I drove home in the comments hard yesterday. It is worth noting, however, that the energetic flux continues to be elevated this morning, and exposure to this extra radiation absolutely is not good for you, and for those astronauts and cold weather warriors near the poles. Radiation storm continues. Tough to imagine more magnetic storms aren't in the offing either. Eyes on the radiation, solar wind, and KP index, with a little gong umbral fields on the side if you're hungry.
Well, here's sunshine. Fall on me. Won't you tell me when the hour is late? Tell them old crows won't fly away. Tell the darkness that you ain't no slave. Here's sunshine. We'll be right back.
May not wear a cape, but in the world of green technology, Mike Stritzky is a superhero. His average suburban home in central New Jersey can go totally off the grid. The nation's first private home fueled entirely by solar and hydrogen power.
I have a hot tub, a swimming pool, big screen TV.
Here's how it works. During long summer days, a wall of solar panels on Mike's backyard workshop provide 200% of the energy needed to fuel his home. The extra 100% is fed into an electrolyzer, a device that splits water molecules into hydrogen, which is stored in backyard tanks, and oxygen, which is released into the air.
This is the ability to be your own power plant. We have enough renewable energy here in the United States to power the planet several times over.
In the winter, when solar energy isn't enough to power the house, the stored hydrogen is run through fuel cells, which create energy by converting the hydrogen back to water. Impressed? Wait till you see his car. Yeah, it runs on hydrogen. The same hydrogen he makes at home, splitting water with solar energy in his garage.
There's no oil in this car, so there's no maintenance.
Mike used to build race cars, but he got hooked on alternative energy while helping a group of students build an electric fuel cell vehicle. He hasn't looked back since.
And that adventure in helping these students with their electric car project changed my life. I learned that it wasn't, you know, bigger, faster, more power. It was about doing more with less.
During a house tour this winter, students with the Green Energy Academy at Bloomfield Tech were given a peek of Mike's latest system, a leaner, cheaper version of his own, being shipped to a wealthy client in the Cayman Islands.
Where you have your energy storage in the bottom, you have your hydrogen generation in the top, and you have your fuel cell power plant all in one small compressed unit that's plug and play.
All the technology we need for an energy independent life was invented decades ago, Mike says. We just need to find new ways to use it.
The amount of power you can get from the sun is free. You just need the devices to collect it. It really is free energy.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the f*** to sleep. The windows are dark in the town, child. The whales huddle down in the deep. I'll read you one very last book if you swear you'll go the f*** to sleep. The eagles who soar through the sky are at rest, and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty. That's bullshit. Stop lying. Lie the f*** down, my darling, and sleep. The wind whispers soft through the grass, hon. The field mice, they make not a peep. It's been 38 minutes already. Jesus Christ, what the f***? Go to sleep. All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap. Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The f*** to sleep. The owls fly forth from the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. A hot crimson rage fills my heart, love. For real, shut the f*** up and sleep. The cubs and the lions are snoring, wrapped in a big, snuggly heap. How come you can do all this other great s***, but you can't lie the f*** down and sleep? The seeds slumber beneath the earth now, and the crops that the farmers will reap. No more questions. This interview's over. I got two words for you, kid. Sleep. The tiger reclines in the simmering jungle. The sparrow has silenced her sheep. F*** your stuff bad. I'm not getting you. Close your eyes. Cut the crap. Sleep. The flowers doze low in the meadows, and high on the mountains so steep. My life is a failure. I'm a shitty ass parent. Stop f***ing with me, please, and sleep. The giant pangolins of Madagascar are snoozing as I lie here and openly weep. Sure. Fine, whatever, I'll bring you some milk. Who the f*** cares? You're not gonna sleep. This room is all I can remember. The furniture, crappy and cheap. You win, you escape, you run down the hall. As I nod the f*** off and sleep. Bleary and dazed, I awaken to find your eyes shut. So I keep my fingers crossed tight as I tiptoe away and pray that you're asleep. We're finally watching our movie. Popcorn's in the microwave. Beep. Oh, shit. God damn it, you gotta be kidding! Come on, go the f*** back to sleep.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.